a prime example of how the legacy media will be dead when President Trump leaves. They have shot their credibility. They have staked it all on covering him. They loved the Trump bump in 2016. And just like a drug addict, they're addicted to it. They need it. They can't get away from it. But in doing so, in chasing the bad orange man Trump derangement syndrome narrative and the money and the ratings increase that came with that, they have absolutely shot any hope of having a working business model in the legacy media post-Trump. And all you had to do is look at this weekend, because one of the big stories that they ran with was the fact that Trump didn't tweet for 12 or 15 hours or something like that. There was legitimate concern that President Trump must be in a state of absolute despair because he hasn't tweeted in so long. We're counting the time between actual releases on a website from the president. You can tell that any idea, any modicum of reporting is dead. And that's how we see, or we know, that the legacy media is in no way, shape, or form going to be able to continue without President Trump. And yes, Trump, apparently, they were calling it roid rage because he took some kind of steroids. That's the wrong kind. They're not anabolic steroids, right? When you take prednisone, you don't hulk up. Right. And I think because our legacy media have the cultural and intellectual depth of those plastic swimming pools you can get at the hardware store, they're like, he's taking steroids. He's on a road ray. He's on roid ray. No, they're not anabolic steroids. They're like, my dog took prednisone my dog blew out her patella last Friday, so she's getting surgery. My dog did not roid rage when I gave her the prednisone. All the dog got sleepy and hungry, right? Because those steroids are like a muscle relaxer. My dog was not like jacking up 220 because she was on prednisone. So that's that idea. But the idea that he's on roid rage this morning because he busted out like 15 tweets, which, I mean, it's like law and order, vote. Pro-life, vote. I mean, there weren't really, like, the depth of intellectual thoughts from the president. But then again, who can? Who does sound intellectual on Twitter? If you're spending that much time trying to craft Twitter responses, my dog's on the DL. Blown patella. So she's getting surgery while she's boarded this week. So, you know, what are you going to do? Right? I'm not going to have my dog limping. But the legacy media tried so hard with this window. We talked about it on Friday on the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel. We talked about the fact that the legacy media has whatever the window is, but when Trump went into Walter Reed to when he leaves, to push fear, death, this is terrible. Everything's going to be awful. Trump's going to die. It's because Trump played fast and loose with the COVID rules. Look at all this death. And they tried to contact trace this and say, he was at this event with these people. And but remember, the idea that comes off the top of my head, Rand Paul was in the Senate. He got sick. Hardly anybody else did. It's like any other version of the flu. Just because you come near somebody that is down with it or afflicted with it, it doesn't mean you're automatically going to get it. But we have this whole thought process that's been ingrained by the legacy media that's trying to tell you, hey, Trump's going to die. It's awful, blah, blah, blah. This is terrible. This is the worst mistake ever. October surprise. Because they have to. You can hear the desperation. You can hear it when they're reporting it on TV. You can read it. You can feel the calluses that are developing on Jennifer Rubin because she's pounding away on that keyboard trying to tell us, he's so irresponsible. He's got out of... Okay. He's probably not. He's not the first leader. He's not the first world authority figure to actually get it. And he's actually done better than Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson was hung up for, I think, 3 weeks with this. So you had essentially legacy media playing Trump is knocking on heaven's door. And then you had your alt media, Daily Wire, One American News saying, even the Federalist, Ben Dominic, was tweeting out, my sources say he's fine, he's cracking jokes. He's a little tired. And once again, we have to realize when you get the flu, it's not fun. We're all acting like when you get the regular flu, that it's the best feeling in the world. No, it's awful. You can't breathe. You're tired. You have headaches, all nausea. But this was the race, and the legacy media knew they were going to lose it. And it really is highlighted. It really is highlighted by the drive, the joyride from hell, depending on what side, right? This was this event that took place yesterday afternoon where President Trump released a message. I think we have the audio for it, where President Trump, because he released a couple, because they get, he hasn't tweeted, he must be dead. And then he released something. He hasn't seen a picture of him. And then he releases a picture. And then Sunday afternoon, he put out this statement. Of course, he looks a little, everyone's like, he looks pale. It's like, guys, he hasn't gotten a tan. He hasn't had the orange paint put on him in 3 days. Yeah, of course he looks pale. But this is what he put out Sunday afternoon.
We're getting great reports from the doctors. This is an incredible hospital, Walter Reed. The work they do is just absolutely amazing, and I want to thank them all, the nurses, the doctors, everybody here. I've also gotten to meet some of the soldiers and the first responders, and what a group. I also think we're going to pay a little surprise to some of the great patriots that we have out on the street, and they've been out there for a long time, and they've got Trump flags, and they love our country, so I'm not telling anybody but you, but I'm about to make a little surprise visit. So perhaps I'll get there before you get to see me. But I just, when I look at the enthusiasm, and we have enthusiasm like probably nobody's ever had. Our people that love the job we're doing, we have more enthusiasm than maybe anybody. So it's been a very interesting journey. I learned a lot about COVID. I learned it by really going to school. This is the real school. This isn't the let's read the book school. And I get it and I understand it. And it's a very interesting thing. And I'm going to be letting you know about it. In the meantime, we love the USA and we love what's happening. Thank you.
First thing he says when he says, I went to the real school. I went to the, not the fake school. Not the fake school where you read the books. I don't read a book. I do the auto books. I love them. That connects really well with you and me. Because what's the best way? Experience, they say, is the best teacher, right? When you're a parent, you know, hopefully someday I will be. When you're a parent and you try to tell your kid something and they're like, my dad used to tell me, okay, experience is the best teacher. Same here. Experience is the best teacher. And he's saying, I went through it. Instead of the academics, it's a shot at the academics who said we're going to have 5 billion people dead within 3 weeks of COVID hitting. It's a nice subtle shot. And that's the way Trump connects with the base, right? If this happened to Obama and he made out one of these statements, he would have said, you know, I sat here, I talked to these amazing medical professionals, all of them, so genius, so smart. And based off of their acquired knowledge that you could only get by being an academic, we have been able to pinpoint the correct strategy, and everybody would have been falling asleep at that point. Everybody's eyes would have glazed over. But what does Trump say? What does Trump say? I went to school. To the real school. I experienced it. Which most of the public is like, yeah, that's what happened. You know, I read about it. Only when I tried to do something did I really learn about it. Second point, what happened, and you and I, we talked about it, listener, on Friday's show. I said, watch out for this weekend. You're going to see rallies and you're going to see spontaneous get-togethers supporting the president. You saw it in New York City, especially in Washington, D.C., the outpouring of support. Now, some call it Cult 45, but every president has their followers. Even W. Bush has his own. And so to see this, once again, not choreographed, not paid for, but just people wanting to be, to show that, hey, we are here for you, we're supporting you. He comes out in a Chevy. I think it's a Tahoe or who knows what it is. It's one of those. And he drives. And he just drives around. And he's waving at people from inside his car. Now, it's a pretty innocent act, don't you think? I mean, if you're sitting around and you're going, what can we do? I want to show the people I'm very happy they're here. And somebody said, well, maybe if you put a mask on and sit in a car, you can drive around. And to anybody, once again, with an IQ above lukewarm soup, well, you're going to put me in a car with a mask on? Okay, yeah, I think that'll work. Nope. This was the second super spreader event. Oh, I feel so bad for those Secret Service agents. They're going to die. Well, first of all, they were on Marine One when he helicoptered over to Walter Reed. Nobody said a word about the Secret Service agents or the Marines and any of those there. Point two. In both occasions, when he went to Walter Reed and when he was inside a vehicle, he was wearing a mask. Nobody cared who he was before he put on the mask. And then he was wearing a mask. So, according to liberal logic, which I repeat, that's not true. There's nothing there. He should have been fine. It should have been no problem. But because the narrative, because they've pegged themselves and dug themselves into this hole of Orange Man is always bad and everything he does is evil and we're all going to die. By the way, real quick point, Justin and I were going over this this weekend. When Kim Jong-un sends nicer regards, I'll give Rachel Maddow, she was very kind in her regards, very respectful. No matter what you think about Rachel Maddow, she was very respectful of this. But when Kim Jong-un, President Trump, I feel bad for you. Hopefully you feel bad. I send you rice. You'll be fine. Finest North Korean rice ever. You'll be good in 2 days.